Okay, today we'll try to finish up the loose ends of Siman Kuf Tzadi and discuss the more general types of Taliyos as opposed to the specific exclusions from Toras Ksamim that we had discussed until now. Just out of curiosity, how many of you have made it through the whole Siman? Okay, where's everyone up to?
So I'll speak from Ari and myself. We went through all the Shulchan Aruchs through the end,
Okay.
but not all the Shachs and Pisei Tshuvas or the Makoros that were like the additional ones. Just we were trying to get like a more of a survey yesterday.
Okay. And Mayor Navrami?
We're towards the end. We didn't finish yet, but we're nearing the end.
Got it. Okay. Moshi?
I'm off to Mendes.
Fine. Okay, so I may touch on a few things that you might not have seen, but this is just call it a skira klalit or just a few observations about some things. As we noted before, the rest of the siman is not terribly lemaisa. We may touch on a couple issues that are lemaisa, but that's why in the official Reet Smicha curriculum, the rest of Siman Kufsadi is listed as bekias only, and that's why we're kind of rushing through it. Okay. So the yesod that we see in Se'if Yud Aleph, which is basically the sugya in the beginning of Perek HaRabbah Kesem, is that if a woman sees dam al besara, that the reason that that is mitama mishum kesem is because of the possibility that the dam would be migufa. So kesem al besara, we're concerned that the dam is migufa, and that's why that would render the woman tmeya. And therefore, midrabanan, if it's only a kesem, even if it's not baba hargasha, we treat the woman as tmeya. And then, if there are certain tlios that would indicate another explanation as to where the dam came from, then those tlios might be relevant. But as far as the initial concern that if you have a kesem al basara in certain locations, it may come migufa, there may be certain distinctions lufi hamakom or lufi hazman. So, for example, one of the examples the Mishnah has in the beginning of the parak is if you see dam on the heel, then that's tameya because it's conceivable that the heel may come in contact with osamakom, and if there's dam on a woman's heel, then maybe dam min hamakor. So the Taz points out, quoting the drisha in Sif Katan Yud, sorry. The Taz writes in Sif Katan Yud as follows. Shamanaga Bosamakom, Bishivasa, Upirish Priprisha, the Hainu Kishi Shivasa Kidera Yishme'elim. Shemasim and Raglayam Tachas Gvoseyam. So that's what we would call Indian style. He calls it Arabic style. I was concerned that Indian style may not be a politically correct term these days. So I looked on the internet, and apparently the reason it's referred to as Indian style is not because of Native Americans, but real Indians, because thousands of years ago in India, they sat in those kind of yoga positions. So given that it's probably still acceptable to call people from India Indians, then Indian style is probably an acceptable term regardless. But whether it's Indian style or Arab style, the Taz quotes that the reason for the din of the Mishnah that if you see dam on a heel, on an ankle, it would be mitami is because that's a position that a woman may have sat in where dam and a makor could end up in that part of the body. So conceivable that if women do not sit that way, then maybe the din would be different. So Rav Avadia quotes on page Taf Yud Gimel in the first volume of the Taras Abayis from the Sefer Ma'aseh Rokeach on the Rambam, that in his time, when people did not sit in such positions, if you see dam al hakavod, that would be tahora because there is no real way that that dam would end up there min ha-makor. And that's what Rabbi Morgenstern quotes l'halacha as well, that this din may change depending on the standard mode of sitting in the society where you live. Nevertheless, Aruch HaShulchan doesn't take that approach. The Aruch HaShulchan in Se'if Mem Vav writes as follows. Let's try to pull it up on the screen. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, L'chora lefi zeh b'medina seinu, she'en yosh v'en kein tzarech liyos tahor. So if the reason that dam in that location is going to be mitami because it could come meyosa makom, so if we don't sit in such a position, women should be tahara. If that's the case, why did no one ever say that before? So Mela, maybe women sat that way in Spain or in the areas where the Rishonim lived. But in Poland, in the time of the Ramah, no one sat that way. So the Ramah should explain that. No, even if it's not the norm to sit in such a position, we're still concerned that maybe a woman sat in that position anyway and didn't realize it, wasn't conscious. No, maybe that's not the reason at all. Even if you don't sit in that position, women may end up in different positions and may have her leg in such a place where a dam could end up there. But he says that even in our locations where people don't sit in such positions, we're still concerned that maybe there's a possibility of a woman extending herself in such a way that dam could end up al akava, and therefore the din doesn't change. And that's where Rav Avadia writes la halacha, that unless you have other tzirufim to be mekel, you have to be machmir and be mamid the din, as it appears in the Mishnah and in Shulchan Aruch. Then the next related halacha, this is relevant as well, we have an Enchesim and Aleph, that if you find dam al kishrei etzba seha, so then the woman is tamea because yadai maskani yosein, we're concerned that maybe even if she didn't realize it, the woman may have put her hands near samakam in the dam, maybe dam mi gufa. Okay, the Rashba writes in there on Nuchasim and Aleph, Dibra Maskil, Nimsal Kishrei Etzba Seha. Rashba writes, Dafka Shebadka Atzma Velo Notla Yada Acharkach. We're talking about where the woman checked herself and then did a Bedika, checked herself that with the Bedika. And she didn't do Natila Sedayim afterwards. Aval. Sorry, let's bring it up on the screen again. Sorry. Go. Again. Dafka Shabarka Atzma Velon Allah Yada Acharkach. Aval Blo Bedika Vadai Lo Chayshina Shema Naga Yada Shalabakavan of Beis HaTorfa. Dasuya Hilizar Shalotilach Lech Yada. So if a woman is doing a bedika, so she's inserting a bedika cloth, and she doesn't wash her hands afterwards, so then it's reasonable that the dam may have come mikufa. But if she's not doing a bedika, then we're not concerned the stam, a woman's going to touch that area, because women don't generally do that. So the whole din, that nimsal kishrei esposa tumeya, that's only in a situation where we know that she was touching that area. But otherwise, that's not of concern. That's what the Rashba writes. The Magen Mishnah, Perek Tes Halacha Ches, Magen Mishnah Perek Tes Halacha Ches, assumes that the Rambam disagrees, and the Ramban as well. Mistimas Lashonam. He writes, the fact that the Rambam, the Ramban, in the Ramban's Halachos, make no mention of such a distinction, and just quote the din as is, and Nimsei Sal Kishrei Esposah Tumeya, would indicate that under all circumstances, we're concerned that Yadai Maskani Hosein, and maybe she touched El Samakom, and the dam is Mi Gufa. And that's the Magen Mishnah Paskins, not like the Rashba, that even Bistam, the woman's going to be Tameya. And even if we know that she touched other areas of the body, but maybe the dam somehow was Nita's, may El Samakom onto another area or onto her hand, and therefore we treat the woman as Tamei. The Chachmas Adam notes in the Binas Adam Os Yudalid that this argument of the Magen Mishnah is not necessarily compelling because Darko Shel Rambam, as we know, is to quote Gemara's Kitzurasan. And the fact that the Rambam just quotes this din of Nimsei Al-Kishrei Esposah without qualification doesn't in and of itself mean that the Rambam wouldn't agree to such qualification. That's a lashon that the Rambam quotes, but maybe the Rambam would agree to such a distinction along the lines of the Rashba. So what does it say in Shulchan Aruch? The Mechaber writes here in Se'if Yud Aleph, V'chein im nimsa al yadeha afila kishrei etzba seha she'edai maskani osei v'shamenagu ba'oso mako. Says the Shach, Sivkatin Yuches, mashma lehedya midivri atur v'shochan aruch dafilu bistam chayshinan shamenagu v'chein das harav amagid. So the Mechaber is so same, just like the Rambam, so same. So the Shach says that mashma from the stima slashin amechaber, like the stima slashin Rambam, that a woman is tameya anytime she sees dam on her fingers, even if she has no knowledge that she was touching an area near osamaka. And Rav Avadya writes page Taf Yudalid that along the lines of the Chachmas Adam, not necessarily. If anything, the Mechaber says, Shema Nagu B'Osamakom, which you don't have in Lashon HaRambam. So maybe the Mechaber is dafka qualifying it, that this din only applies in a situation where we are concerned or have reason to believe that Shema Nagu B'Osamakom, but otherwise not. And he quotes a Lechem Simla, that's Masig on the Shach, similarly as well. Sidrei Tara writes in Sifkatan Kaf Gimel, the Piskei Tshuva in Sifkatan Kaf Gimel, quotes the Sidrei Tara, say the retirees in Sivkat and Kavav, that we're only Choshesh min hastam. We're only Choshesh that the dam is, even according to the Shach, and even according to what we'll call the Machmirim, we're still only Choshesh if she has no bistam, she has no knowledge one way or another. But if she could tell you, Bari Li, that I didn't touch that area, so then he thinks even the Shach would agree that the woman is Tahora. And then he says that even if you're going to be Machmir like the Rambam, we discussed previously, that Pachos Mikigris al Bisara is problematic, that the Kula of Kigris Ve'od only applies al Chaluka al Begadeha, but not al Bisara. But if you have Pachos Mikigris on a woman's fingers, so then you could be Mekel B'tziruf the Rashba. So even if in general we'd be Machmir like the Rambam, the Pachas Mikigris al Basara doesn't help, but if it's al Esboseha, even if in general you'll be Machmir al Esboseha like the Shach's reading of the Mechaber, but here you could be Mitzaref the Kula of the Rashba. And Rabbi Karp suggests, Perek Gimel Funo 57, that maybe the other Rishonim would agree to the Rashba at least in the following case, that if a woman does wash her hands, you don't have to be choshesh. Because even if you're concerned, as let's say the Shach would have it, as the Magen Mishnah would have it, that woman has no knowledge one way or another, yadayim maskani osein, so maybe even if she didn't realize it, she touched osa makom. But if she can tell you that she washed the tilas yadayim 5 minutes ago and hasn't touched anything since, so then maybe everyone would agree. In that case, you don't have to be choshesh. Okay. Skipping a little bit, and then we'll come back somewhat. In Sif Lamed Tes, Mechaber writes, "Eina isha tmeya mishum kesem shamasa b'chaluka, elim kena yabaduk la kodem shalav shasa." That a woman is only going to be tmeya due to a kesem that she finds on a garment if the garment was previously badik. Before she put it on, she looked at it and she saw that it was clean. Now she sees a kesem. So absent a taliya, that kesem is going to be mitame midirabana. Avalam eno baduk kodem shelavshaso below bedika. But if it wasn't checked beforehand and she put it on without checking it, umasabo kesem tahora. And then she finds a kethem on that garment. So then we're mako, and she's going to be Torah because you have the right to assume that the kethem was there beforehand. So that's the din of a beged she'eno batuk. The Chachmas Adam has the following qualification, though. Chachmas Adam in Simen Kuf Yigimel Os Lamed Ches, Simen Kuf Yigimel Os Lamed Ches, writes as follows. Ulfiza Yeshlomar, Kavan Dinashim Shalanu, Einan Bodkos, Hakisones, Kodim Halavisha, Imlo Hysenis Harris, Laniach, Osaba Makomutsna, Tekif Lachra Kvisa. So our women are not in the practice of checking their clothing before they put them on. So if she didn't put it in a safe place after it came out of the laundry, Ela Shenicha, Osaba Bimkomos, Sheinam Nikiyim, Kigon Bamita, Vachayose Bo, So if a woman does the laundry, Chachmas Adam is not writing about a washing machine, but he did the laundry wherever women did the laundry in the 1800s, the late 1700s in Vilna. So a woman did the laundry and then dumped it on her bed, and there are bugs on the bed. In Cain's, Yesh Litlos Bazeh, Afilu Hayakasa Maglit. So then you have the right to be tola on that pishpesh, even if the kesem is, even if it has mamashus, it's not an embedded stain, but it looks like a fresh stain. But if a woman didn't put it in a safe place when it came out of the laundry, then you, and it's in a place where there might be bugs, you could be tola on that bug. But if the woman puts it in a safe place, even if she didn't check it, where she put it on her bed, but her bed doesn't have bugs on it. They're called beged la'achra kvisa mikal makom becheskas shebevadai ein bo dam maglit. So the Chachmas Adam says this din that we have in Shulchan Aruch, that if a woman doesn't check the garment before wearing it, then you don't have to be concerned about the ksamim that you find on that garment. So that doesn't apply as much nowadays as it used to be. Nowadays, nowadays in the Chachmas Adam's Vilna, when you do a wash, the garment is presumably clean after it comes out of the wash. And as long as you don't put it in a place where it's susceptible to other bugs, the presumption is that the garment remains clean. So Kol Shekein nowadays, if you put a piece of clothing in the laundry, even if you don't examine it when it comes out of the laundry, and then you put it back in a drawer and then wear it, even if you don't look at it, and then you find a kesem, then that is going to be a problematic kesem. That's what Rabbi Karp quotes from Rav Yashiv, Mishmera Satara, footnote 72, chapter 3, Paragimel, footnote 72, that nowadays, where we all have much better laundry and washing systems than people used to, and our houses are not generally subject to bug infestation. So a garment is presumed to be clean when it comes out of the laundry, and you have no right to be mako on ksamim, even if you don't examine the garment per se before putting it on. So that's another instance, slightly different context, but another instance where different circumstances or different contemporary circumstances may impact Hilchos Ksamim. Okay, let's go backwards, back to Sif Yud Beis. It's Mavur in the Brais and Daf Minches Amid Beis, and that's what the Mechaber quotes Allah in Sif Yud Beis, that if a woman is wearing three garments, one on top of another, and she didn't pass through a shuk shel tabachim, so she didn't go through an area where there'd be an obvious tliya to establish or to hypothesize that the dam may have come from an outside source. Even if she finds a kesem on the upper garment, she still has no right to be tola. Okay, so the Chaber writes, Nimsa kesem al chaluka lamata meyachagor, So even if a woman did not pass through a shuk shel tabachim, you have the right to assume, or you should assume, that if the dam came in a makor, you would have found it al basara. But if you find it al chaluka, if you find it al chaluka, 1 second. So let's go back to the beginning of the sef. Nimsa kesem al chaluka lamata meyachagor abemakam achagor atzmo tmeya. So if you find a kesem on a garment, if it's in a place where the kesem could have come migufa, then she's going to be tmeya. Afila nimsa letzad chutz, even if you find the kesem on the outer side of the garment. Okay, take a look at the Piskei Tshuva Kavav. Ayin b'sidri Tara, Sivkata Memhei, Shekasav, Tehadi Isa B'shas, Lavsha Shlosha Chalukim Ze Al Ze, Im Eina Yechola Litlos, Eina Tola Afilu Be'elya. So that's the Gemara Nuchasim Beis, that a woman is wearing three garments, one on top of another. And there's no obvious tliya, she didn't walk through a shuk shel tabachim. So in that case, Eina Tola Afilu Be'elya. So she has no right to be Tola even on the upper garment, even if she only found a kesem on the upper garment. So you would have said, if it's only on the upper garment, so then obviously it's not Mibisara, because if it was on Bisara, it should have been on the lower garments as well. You can't have dam that's going to come Mibisara and not appear on the two inner garments and only appear on the outer garment. That's the Gemara. So the Piskei Tshuva question Sidrei Tara, Dafka Gimel Chalukim Shehem Kisonos HaTachtonos. Ubahani Ikala Meimar Shinis Kaplu HaTachtonos. So that din in the Gemara of Gimel Begadim, if a woman is wearing Gimel Chalukim, that only applies if there are folds in the garment, or they could be positioned in such a way that theoretically dam nibisara could end up in the outer garment, but not in the inner garments. Aval b'mabushim gemurim, u'b'rpa mabushim shalanu, nira de'enu chosheshes be'elyon, d'leko le'meymar b'mabushim ke'elu sheneskaplu. But if that's not the case, if you have a woman's wearing an undergarment, and she's wearing another garment on top of that, and another garment on top of that, and there's no way that dam nibisara would end up on the outer garment and not on the inner garment, so that din of the Gemara doesn't apply. That there's no reasonable path that would have brought the dam nibisara onto the outer garment alone. So it's true that there is such a din of the Gemara of a woman wearing three garments, one on top of another. That only applies where there's some way that the dam conceivably could have ended up nibisara on the outer garment exclusively. So that's what the Sidrei Tara says lahalacha. Rabbi Morgenstern quotes page 335 from Rava Yashiv that Rava Yashiv is only makel in this kind of a situation where, you know, there's no way that the dam could have come on the outer garment alone. But if there's such a way that it might have ended up in the outer garment, then there are no grounds to be makel. Rav Avner points out that the same logic could end up being a chumra. I mean, the Sidri Torah here in context is a kula. That din of Gimel Chalukim doesn't apply if, let's say, a woman is wearing an undergarment and something on top of that and something on top of that, and there's no rational way that the dam would end up only on the outer garment. But that svara could also work l'chumra as well. How is that? So in Sif Yud Ches, we have a din that in the context of a tliya b'shuk shel tabachim, a woman is walking through a shuk shel tabachim. So there you could be tola, even if you only find dam on the beged hatachto. Right? So afilu leveshet gimel chalukim zel zeh benim safilu betachton tahora. So the ikur din is that if a woman is averis b'shuk shel tabachim, you have that standard tliya that you can attribute the dam that she finds on her clothing to the splattering dam from the slaughterhouse. So Rav Avner says that's only true that you could be tola even if it's the inner garment that has a dam in it. That's only true if there's a path from the dam in the slaughterhouse to the inner garment. But if the garments are worn in such a way that there's no way for the dam to get from the outside to the undergarment without touching the outer garments first, so then that din doesn't apply. So if a woman is wearing a standard tight-fitting undergarment and she finds dam on the undergarment, so even if she's a veris b'shuk shel tabachim, even if she's a sekes b'ksamim, she's touching red lipstick or she's painting with red paint, but that's not a legitimate taliyah because there's no way that paint would have ended up on her undergarment and not on the outer garments first. Okay, so that could cut both ways. The Sidrei Torah is kula here, also ends up being a chumra potentially in other contexts. The Mechaber writes in Sifkaf Beis, Safikim Avra B'kshuk Shel Tabachim Oim Yashva B'tzayim Is'askim B'ksamim. So if you have a Safik whether the woman was in a Tliya situation to begin with, Ein Atola Behem. So you have no right to invoke this kind of a Tliya if it's only a Safik whether the situation existed to begin with. Medvar Murim B'ir Shel Tabachim Oim Is'askim B'ksamim Yoshvim B'makam Yadua. Avalam darkam is asik kan vekan tolin afilu misafek shemin is asku b'makam she'avra v'lo regisha. So if you have a roving shuk shel tabachim that spends their days walking down the city streets and shechting animals, so then there's a more plausible possibility that the woman was a veres unknowingly in the shuk shel tabachim. But if the shuk shel tabachim is situated in a makam kavu in the city and the woman has no recollection whether she passed by the shuk shel tabachim, then she has no right to be tola. So what's this basis based on, and what's the threshold for the level of safek which can be invoked in the context of a tliya? So this is based on an Ur Zarua. The Ur Zarua is in Simen Shin Nun Aleph, and writes as follows. Dafka b'sveka achas tola. So the ability to be to invoke a tliya of the shuk shel tabachim or nisaska b'ksamim variety is only if it's a single suffik. Aval b'trei sveke lo. But not if it's a double suffik. Kedami b'gemara yashva in lo yashva lo. Tanina la de tana rabbanan. Ave b'shuk shel tabachim suffik nitas ala suffik lo nitas ala tola. Suffik aver suffik lo aver ain't a tola. Why? Perish. Mishum dahava luhu treisveki, the intim salomer avra shema lo nitas aleha. So if you have a situation where you don't know whether she was a veris at all, so that's a double suffix. Maybe she was a veris, and even if she was a veris, maybe it was nitas aleha or not. And since we say en alacha kribchanina ben antignus to amr tola afa pi shelo harga. Since you have to assume, since there are limitations on the ability of Tlios that we see in the context of Kigris Va'od, Dafka ad gris tala b'macholas tahaynu chatzi pol, al yosi mikigris ena tala b'macholas, etc. So there is a threshold for the ability to be tola, which is limited to a single suffix and not to a double suffix. And the Chaber writes in Sifkaf Gimel, Nisaska Bidavar Adam, Vinimsala Kasem Shachar. So a woman is touching red substances. She's Nisaska Biksamim. And then she finds a Kasem Shachar. But she finds a black Kasem on her body, on her bega. Oh, Ipcha. Ain't Tolenbo. So you only have the right to be tola on a kesem that matches the color that she was osekesem. Medvar murim adam b'shachar b'shachar b'adam. Aval adam b'adam b'shachar b'shachar. But if they're both red or both black, afilam eino nikar mamish shedomelo, even if it's not fully clear that it's exactly the same shade, tola bo, kigon chenis aska b'mei tilsan b'mei basar b'kilar adam ksas, Tola bo ha'adam. So you can't be tola a black hesem on nisaska b'red ksamim, or a red hesem on nisaska b'black ksamim. But if you have two shades of red or two shades of black, you could be tola one on the other. At the same time, take a look at Sif Lamed. Eino tzricha lahakif perish inyan akafahu ledamus davar ledavar hakesem ledavar shitola bo elatola minastam ad sheteda shezeh shachar vizeh adam. That you don't have to compare the ksamim. If you have ksamim that are relatively close in color to the kesem that you're osekes in, you don't actually have to hold them next to each other to see that they're exactly the same shade. That's based on a Ravid or Ramban. The Ramban is Perek Dalid Halacha Kaf Gimel. So these Rishonim say that you don't have to hold the colors next to each other in order to see that it's exactly the same shade. That being said, the Sidrei Tara does have the following qualification. Sidrei Tara is in Sifkatan Memhe. He quotes a Rashba. Avalim ze adam ze adam ze shachar ze shachar ve'ena nikar imdom imamash olav ha'reza tola. So that's what we just saw in Shulchan Aruch and Sif Lamed. The Rashba as well as the Ramban and the Ravid. Muchach didavka hecha sheyesh lesapik. She'afa pi she'eno nikar mamish shedom ze leze. Mikol makom sveikahu imdomehu olo. So it's not 100% clear that it's the same shade, but it's a suffix whether it's the same shade. Gam kishin es aska b'mei tilsan o mei basar v'kilo shem adumim ksas, shetolin bo ha'adom, nami mayri shi es suffix dilma dami ladadi, afa pi shi za adom ksas v'za adom harbe. Aval, hecha devadai eno doma v'leka mi dilimisli, afilo adom ba'adom eno tolos. So Sidrei Tara says, it's true that you don't have to be makif, you don't have to hold the sample right next to the original potential source of the Kesem of the Nisaska B'Ksamim, but it has to be reasonably similar. So if it's Shachar versus Adam, that's Beferish, you can't be Tola. If they're both shades of red, and they're similar enough that it's in a ballpark, you don't have to put them next to each other. But if it's clear that they're not in the same ballpark of red, even if they're both red, the Sidur Torah says you can't be told in that situation, either. So it's a little bit unclear is what falls into that that middle category, and where do you draw the line? So Rav Ozner, for example, says that if you have the ability to identify the color of the kesem and show it to a baki who can tell whether it's attributable to the tliya, so then you have to show it to the baki, because that's not called chisaron yedia. Chisaron yedia is where you can easily check it out. But if you can show it to a Rav to Paskin, the Rav's capable of Paskining, then you do. Rav Ozner still tries to figure out what's the balance between that and Sif Kaf Gimel and Sif Lamed, where it sounds like you don't have to be overly concerned. As long as they're within the same ballpark, you have the right to rely on that as a suffix. And then you have a commentary of Rabbi Akiva Eiger here in Sif Kaf Gimel. Vega writes, Nisaska b'davar Adam, in Nisaska b'tseva Adam, yesh la'ayin, d'luch ora aser, d'efshel levarai de'havaris da'alat samamanim. So there is a way that we're not bekeimin anymore, that the Gemara indicates, of determining whether a red is actually dam or something else. So maybe that's considered efshel levarer. And you can't just rely on the fact that it looks like red. If there's a test, they'll be able to determine whether it's dam or not. But after yet, I ain't on the bekiyim, have a safek machmas kisar in yedia. And the safek machmas kisar in yedia isn't enough to go with. Because the Shvus Yaakov, the Torah Sashlamim, that even if a kesem is lost, maybe sometimes you have to be machmer that. So Gveger sounds like if there's any way being Bavarer, even if it is Domeh in color, you'd have to be Bavarer. So Rav Ozner says that Gveger is not accepted by Poskim. Rabbi Morkenstern has that as well, that's not accepted by Poskim to that extreme. That the fact that there is a theoretical way of ascertaining, even if not Bekima that way, that would make it a Chisaron Yedia that you couldn't rely on the Taliyah. But where you do need to be mevar, where you do need to ask the shaila, is not as readily apparent. It does sound like that if things are, you know, the simple reading of Sif Kaf Gimel together with Sif Lamed is that if things are generally within the ballpark of the same shade of red, and you're osekes in a red kind of material that this red could be attributable to, then that doesn't require further birur per se. So that perhaps requires a little more clarification. The Mechaber writes in Sif Kaf Vav, Nisaska b'pachos mikigris, v'nim salah kegris v'od. So a woman is a sekes b'ksamim, but the kesem that she's a sekes in, that which she's touching, would only produce a stain that's less than the size of a gris. V'nim salah kegris v'od. But in point of fact, she has a kesem now, al b'gadel, b'sara, that is larger than what could have been produced by the kesem she was osekes in. Still, tahora. Shani omer, kesem ze me'esek haksamim hu, v'kvar hayasham dam acholas, shenistarif elav, ad shechazul yosem mikigris. So you have the right to assume, this is Machlokas Rishonim, you have a right to assume that anyway, your starting point is you could always be tola on up to a kegris v'od because of macholas. And now you're a second to another kasem. That kasem is less than a kegris. But you could say that, okay, you have your pachos mikegris v'od pass to start with. And then the other kasem that you're a second in could be mitzarif to that shear. So as long as the sum total size of the kesem in front of you corresponds to the combined area of a macholes of a pachas mikigris v'od and the kesem the yerosekes in, then you could be makel to be total of the kesem on that which you are osekes in. Kiv Eger has a qualification here. I am b'shuvas milstaka dafka b'macholes d'shkiach tuva. Vegam ragil yes b'makom zuama to lean on the mizdami ledam shenis aska v'did melakasem echad on this aska v'beis manim b'chol pam and pam kisela unless a kasem beis loyim after they told on hakel lomer disamai zeb inside zeb. So number one, the ability to be tola here in this case is only where you actually have a plausible macholas that you could attribute the dam to. And number two, it only works once. If you're osekes in one quantity of a kesem now and one quantity of a kesem in an hour, and then you have a kesem that corresponds to two quantities, that's unlikely that they would have been mitzarif in that way over two different periods of time. And as far as the first point of Rabbi Kivager, that the ability to be mitzarif, the standard default shir macholas to a osekes piksamim only applies if there's really a macholas around. Rav Vosner raises a question that he's raised in other contexts before, that nowadays, presumably you couldn't be makel in this din, yosir mishir macholas bizmanenu. If you're going to argue that you can be mitzarev, an actual shir macholas to whatever gris you're osekes with, it would have to be a plausible shir macholas based on the shir macholas bizmanenu. Okay.
Can you repeat Rabbi Kivager's second point?
Kivager's second point is that if you have an Asak Biksamim now and an Asak Biksamim an hour later, and then you end up with a Kesem al-Chaluka, let's say, that corresponds to the sum of the two Asak Biksamims, you can't be mitzarif two of them and assume that they both appeared at the same point, at the same place in the garment together. Okay. The dina that we have in the end of the simin, sif mem ches through sif nun beis. So that's the sugya, Nunchesamid Aleph, Nuntesamid Beis, a situation where there are multiple women that wear a single garment or sit on a single bench, or in a situation where they both, all of them potentially could have produced a kesem, but we don't know to which women the kesem is attributable to. So, for example, at Sif Mem Tes, Shalosh nashim shelavshu chalak echad, o sheyashu al safsal echad zu achar zu, v'achar kach nimsa alav kesem kulan timeos. So you have three women who share the same garment, three women who sit on the same park bench, and then you find a kesem on the garment, and we don't know who is responsible for the kesem, then kulan timeos. So the yesod here that emerges from the various permutations over here, the following seifim, is that if the kesem is no more attributable to one woman than to the next, then misafik, we have to treat all of them as tumeos. If, however, the kesem is more attributable to one woman, then we invoke some kind of tolin esa kilkul bamikulkeles, and you have the right to assume that the disadvantaged woman, the woman who is more likely to have produced the kesem, is the one who is in fact Tameya. and the other women are off the hook. There's machlokas here, Taz and Shach, about the parameters of this din. The Taz, excuse me, in Sif Kat and Lamed Vav, quotes in the Rashba, Afilum Einan Ba'in Lishal Bevas Achas El Bizarchosa. So this din, that you have three women of equal status, and we have no more reason to attribute the kesem to one than to the next. But one of them presumably is a source of the kesem. So we say that they're all tameos, even if they're coming to ask the shayla bizeh achar zeh, as opposed to the classic din of shnei shvilin, where if you have two people that go on two paths, one of them has tuma on that path, and each one comes to be shoel separately, so then we're makel to treat each one as tahor as long as they're not asking b'vas achas. The Taz says this din is different, and here even if they ask b'zeh achazeh, you still have to be metame all of them. Why is that so? So the Taz tells you to look back at his comments on Sif Kaf Hei. Sif Kaf Hei, the Mechaber writes, this is a Gemara Nun Chesem based on the top. Shtei nashim shenis asku b'tzipur echad, she'en bodam ela kesela. So you have two women that are touching a bird, and the bird produces dam in the amount of a sela. V'nimsa al kol achas kesela. And now each woman has a kesem that is a sela large. So they were both osekas b'ksamim, but the ksamim that they were oskos on only had enough dam to produce one sela's worth. And the sum total of the dam on both women now is two sela's. So one of those sela's is attributable to the bird, but the other sela is not. The other sela has no ready talia. So objectively, the reality should be that one woman is tahara, one woman is tamea. But since we're unable to determine who is who, we treat both women as Timaeus. So the Taz here in Sukkot and Yud Zayin takes issue with his father-in-law, the Bach, as to what shot in Tosas there on Chesam and Beis is. Tosas writes, Tosas writes on the top of Ninches Amid Beis. Amar Ben Tam, the Brisa Irish and is Aska Bitsipur Zu Achar Zu. They're talking about where the women are touching the bird one after the other. The Im Haisa Nish Elis Harishona. Hayina mitarin asa, holvinus aska. If the first woman would have asked the shayla, then we would be mitahir her, since she was osekes. Ubishvil chaverta anumitamin harishona, shehita hora gemura gam lamala. And because of the second woman, we are forced to be mitame the first woman. So the Taz here quotes from the Bach understood in this line in Tosos that if they actually do ask Bizeh Achar Zeh, Tosos is talking about where only the first woman asked the Shaila. But if they were to ask the Shaila Bizeh Achar Zeh, so then we'd be Mitahir and Mitahir both of them. And the Taz disagrees. He thinks, no, Pshat in Tosos is that in that case as well, Rabbeinu Tam is talking about where the first woman was Sho'elis before we knew that there was Dam in the second woman. So in that case, we'd be Mitahir the first woman. But once we find out that there's Dam in the second woman, even if they ask Bizar Chazeh, we would be Mitame both of them. So Machlokas Taz Bach, how to understand Tosfos, what would Tosfos say the din is, in this case, if they ask the Shaila Bizar Chazeh. The Taz explains, what's the Svara? Why would you distinguish between this case and Shnei Shvilin. The Taz writes, Aval Kan Biksamim Shekol She'ein Bo Litloth B'Shem Davar Have Sveka Tamei. The Ein Lecha Heter Rak Im Yesh B'Shem Davar Litloth Shemisham Ba Kesa. So when it comes to Ksamim, the default position is that absent a Tliya, a woman is presumed to be Tamei. And the only way that you could create an out for the woman is if you have a Taliyah. And you could attribute the kasan to the Taliyah. Umisham hachi, kan sheyesh beis nashim, v'yesh kan sela yaseira. So here, you have two women, and you have two selas of dam. Only one of them is attributable to the tzipor. The ein svar lilos hatuma ba'achas yos mechaver. There's no logical reason that you would more readily attribute the tuma to one over the other. Nishar hadavar ki'ilu lo haya b'met lilos kal. So then you're left with a status quo ante, and there's no tliya to speak of. Because if you can't attribute the tliya to one more than the other, so then you go back to the default position that they are both tumeos, as opposed to the case of the Shnei Shvilin, where everybody has a cheskas tara, everyone is presumed to be tahor, and absent any contrary information, you default to the cheskas tara. So that's the Taz's distinction. That's why the Taz thinks that here, even if they ask b'zach or zeh, you have to treat everyone as tameos. Yeah, Mayor.
In general, do we say safek d'rabbanan l'kula b'makom tarti d'sasri? Because that's this shaila. I don't remember where it is exactly, but Avrami and I saw a shach yesterday. I thought that said that towards the end of the simon. I don't remember exactly where it is. I can try to find it, but that seemed to say we won't say safek d'rabbanan l'kula makom tarti d'sasri. So we thought that's Shnei Shvilin is not safek d'rabbanan l'kula. It's either safek tumer sarabim or chazaka d'meikara. So we thought that was just a pashat difference.
The Mereshis Moshe has a discussion. This doesn't answer your question directly yet, but the Mereshis Moshe has a discussion, and he quotes indications lakan lakan whether a safek bekesem is really a standard safek of the rabbanan lakula or is it something totally different? It might be that because of the nature of the gzeirah psamim, it was formulated in such a way that it's not subject to standard rules of safek d'rabbanan l'kula because its whole essence is mishum safek. So, for example, he quotes a lashon l'Rashba. Rashba Torah Sabayis towards the end. Dehasam hu de tlinan mishum dehavelu ksamim. Uksamim mi devrayem vi kilu behem mikol makom. So maybe that's part of the nature of takana samim that they're unique kula sikilu chachamim lam chachamim bedaver lahachmir lahakel. that even without the regular rules of Safek Derabanan, the orientation by Ksamim is Lekula. That's going the other direction.
I don't know if he quotes this, but I just found the Shach. It's Sifkata Nunches. The Shach says that he treats Ksamim like a Safek Derabanan, and because of that, he's not willing to be Mekil on two women when the Safek is for both of them, because then it's a Tarti disaster.
You look at the Shach of Katan Nunches?
Yeah. He says both women, in the case when one lends the beggar to the other one, they're both going to need to be choshen, because if you're told on one over the other, even though it's Safek Derabanan for both of them, you can't be told on one over the other, so they both need to be tomatoes.
Right, so everyone would agree to, no?
Well, you would have said, if you say Safek Derabanan Lekula could apply to Makom Tati Disaster, you should say they're both Tahoros. Because there's a Safek Derabanan and Lekula on both of them. It's just that since we know one of them needs to be Tameh, you can't say that.
Right, but no one, I mean, these are Gemaras that in these cases of Gimel Nashim, etc., that we treat them all as Timaeus. Right, so we're discussing Machlok as whether that's even Bezachas or only if they ask Bevasachas. But at the very least, if they ask Bevasachas, you have to say that's Mefuris, that they're all Timaeus. And so no one would say in that context that's a standard Safek Derabanan v'makom Tarti Disasri where you'd be Mekel on everyone, right? No.
If this is a case of Vasachas, then in Chanami, but the Shach, I don't know all the background, so it could be it is a case of Vasachas. I was just coming from the Shach. The Shach just calls it a Safek Derabanan. It just sounded like he was saying that, you know, in general. But if it's a case of Vasachas, so then in Chanami.
Okay. Fine. So now, so Lididan, so the Shach argues on the Taz. The Shach assumes like the Bach's reading the Tosos, and the Shach assumes that no, this is really like the standard case of Shnei Shvilin, and if it's bizarre Chazah, then we'd be making on everyone. It's only if they're asking Bevasachas that we treat them all as Tameos, because you can't be told in one more than the other. But if they're asking Bezachar Zeh, so then you could be Mekel. And he says that the Rashba, that the Taz quotes, to the contrary, is Lishitoso, because the Rashba paskins that even Bishnei Shvilin, Bezachar Zeh, you have to be Metame, both of them, but that's not how we assume Lalach. Chavastas of Katan Yudalit, Sidritaris of Katan Memzayin, both assume Lalach like the Taz, and that seems to be the general Lachra of Poskim, like the Taz, that in this case, to be Meka, you have to be Machmir to treat everyone as Tmeos, even Bezachar Zeh. So I thought this kind of shiloh just about never happens. But I saw recently Rabbi Mendel Sandrover from Milwaukee just came out with Tshuvas Aseh B'Sam in Yerideya. So he has there the following Shiloh in Siman Lamed that he was asked. A mikveh attendant went into one of their waiting rooms and discovered in a pile of towels a kesem in one of the towels. So there were four towels in the room, and there were four women who had used that room that evening. So that presumably that kesem on one towel would have been attributable to one of the four women. We don't know which one of them it was. So that at first glance sounds like this case of Gimel Nashim B'chalak Echad, and there's a kesem on the chalak, and we don't know which woman is the source of the kesem, where you'd have to be mitame all of them. So first he points out that first blush, this should be dependent on the machlokas taz and shach that we just saw, if they're considered to be asking b'zachar zeh. But we're machmir like the taz, that even b'zachar zeh, all of them would be tameos. He suggests the following possibility, that in a situation where there is a more plausible argument that one of the women is the source of the kesem, then you have the right to attribute the kesem to that woman. So he says maybe the same should be true if the level of kilkul would be greater for one woman than for the other woman. So as far as tolin kilkul bambakulkul, that applies in two contexts. Number one, if there's more of a reason to believe that the kesem came from one woman over the other woman, or if one of the women is Tameos and the other woman is Tahoros, so you're not affecting any change in the status of the woman who's Tameya because she's Tameya already, you are affecting a change in the woman who's Torah, so then you have the right to be Tola the Kesem on the woman who's Tameya, not the woman who's Torah. So Rabbi Sandrovic raises a question, maybe you could say the same thing on a smaller scale. As if the degree of Kilkol would be greater for one woman than the other, even though there would be some kilkul for all, there may be the right to be tola maybe have the right to be makel for the woman for whom the kilkul would be greatest. So benidon didan, if there are four women that went to the mikveh that night and three of them are already home and one of them is still packing up, so if you were to attribute the kesem to the women who is still packing up, then the consequence would be that she would have to restart her shivanakiyah. If you were to attribute the kesem to the woman that already went home, so then not only would they have to wait shivanakiyah, but they'd have to count another 5 days of the paletes shechvazer, etc., before they could start the shivanakiyah. That itself is a machlokas achronim. If a woman went home and wasn't yet Lansa Esel Baila and then found the Kesem, do you have to start counting the 5 days again before the Shivanakiyam? That's a Machlokas Achronim in Simukuf Sarivav. But assuming that we're Machmer on that, so here you have a case where if you attribute the Kesem to the woman who's still in the mikvah, the consequence would be setting her back 7 days. If you attribute it to the other woman, the consequence would be setting them back 12 days. So maybe there's an argument that Tolin ha kilkul mumukulkul, or that we will, just as you would attribute the kesem to the woman who's already tameya over a woman who's tahora, maybe you could attribute the kesem to the woman who would only set back 7 days over the woman that would set back 12 days. So he has a stadim lakana lakana, that shayla, and then he has another possible out for this situation as well, that maybe the case of the towels is different than and then the case of Gimel Nashim with Chaluk Echad, because here on the towel, the Kesem isn't necessarily connected to Makam Torfa. Maybe it's not necessarily Meil Samakam. So there may be ways out of that that as well. But that apparently these kinds of shaylos could still happen even if they are rare and not that common. Okay, so we'll stop here for today. I guess Monday we'll be back on Zoom, and Monday we're going to deal with the sugya of Adam Bashtana, which is Simkuf Sadi Aleph, the sugya in the beginning of the ninth parak. So I would say if you haven't, if you want to just do a quick run through the rest of Simkuf Sadi, what you haven't seen, just spend another day on that, not more. And then the sugya of Dan Bashtana should take you at least a couple of days because the sugya itself is a little bit complex. And then the you know, the details in Kufsadi Aleph are a little bit complex. But I don't think I'm going to spend more than one shiur on that. Next week. And then hopefully we'll resume in person. Okay, so the plan is that Dan Bashtana, next time I'll resend the Mar Makomos with a little bit more. And then Damaka, which should take us through next week and the week after at least. Okay.